For decades, one of the most well-known leaders of the white supremacy movement was David Duke, a neo-Nazi and former leader of the KKK. He became a household name in the 80s and 90s, and even an elected official. Josh Levin, the national editor of Slate, is re-examining Duke's life in the fourth season of Slow Burn. Welcome.
Thank you, Tanya.
You were 8 years old living in Louisiana when David Duke was elected to the Louisiana House of Representatives. I was a kid, too, and I actually remember him being on TV all of the time, especially during his failed bids for governor and later president. Why do you think it was important to examine his story today?
It's a story and a sequence of events that stuck with me since I was a kid. It was really the first event in my life that I remember where it was pretty clear that politics wasn't a game, that it was something that had real consequences. And that feeling that I had back then never really left me. 30 years later, it's something that I still think about.
You wonder, what was it that made white people want to vote for a vocal racist? But in pursuit of that question, you actually look at Duke's participation in a protest in Georgia. What happened there that is so significant?
In 1987 in Forsyth County, Georgia, there was a walk for brotherhood that was organized by a local man there and then also led by Hosea Williams, the prominent civil rights leader. And Forsyth County was all white, and it had been that way since 1912 when there was a lynching and all of the black people in the county were forced out. The march went off and it was met with extreme force by local white people, just this angry mob yelling the most horrible things. And Duke went there and sort of proclaimed himself the spokesman for the counter demonstrators, saying that, you know, we need to keep Forsyth white, that there's no reason to integrate this place, that the way that things are now is fine. And seeing, you know, the numbers of people who were willing to follow that message, who subscribed to that, was, I think, inspirational for Duke. He saw the early kind of, you know, seed of this movement that he would then go on to build in Louisiana.
That rhetoric that Duke uses in the protest is basically, as you said, reclaiming our rights. That resonated with white people who may have not necessarily identified specifically with the KKK. We saw a lot of this in Trump's language during the 2016 election and in Charlottesville. Do you see that through line to where we are today?
Yeah, I mean, one major through line that I see is there is this kind of undercurrent of anger about the state of the world, about being treated unfairly, about the perception that other people are getting things that maybe you once got and that you deserve, that the establishment is against you, and that maybe there's somebody embodied in this politician who's saying things that other people aren't willing to say. And one thing that Duke talked about a lot during his campaigns was everyone believes what I'm saying. I'm just the only person who's brave enough to say it out loud.
So as we mentioned, David Duke ran for governor of Louisiana and even president, and he was originally a Democrat who then becomes a Republican. The thing about Slow Burn is that you all slowed down the story and pick it apart. And were there any surprises about that switching of parties that really stuck out to you?
Well, Duke is a very opportunistic person. And I think you can make a connection between what you just identified as party switching and the fact that he switched from being a leader in the Ku Klux Klan to publicly disavowing the Klan and becoming the head of what he called a white civil rights organization, the National Association for the Advancement of White People. That Duke was someone who tried to sense the direction in which the country was moving, the direction in which white anger was moving, adapted his language, adapted his connections and associations to try to fit with those times. And I think his move from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party was one of his most successful ones. And I think he felt like, you know, he had a home in that party. Many Republicans disagreed, but I think a lot of voters found that to be a reasonable match at that time.
I mentioned remembering seeing Duke all over the news and on talk shows when we were kids. But there was a moment when the media made a conscious decision not to give him coverage anymore. You're bringing him into this moment. What is the takeaway and the retelling of David Duke's story?
As we've seen our country evolve or not evolve and our politics evolve or not evolve, I feel like his election and his subsequent success and follow-up races, it feels less like a historical oddity and more like a warning sign. It's a mistake to look at Duke as an outlier and somebody who can't teach us anything about what's going on in our world now or in the future.
That's Josh Levine. He is national editor for Slate and host of the fourth season of Slow Burn, available now wherever you get your podcasts. Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you.